Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right, Freedom Friday is finally here. Amen, amen. God is on the move, you know. Great things are happening all over the place. And we need to be grateful for what the Lord has done. We are in 2 Chronicles 34 this morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this time, for this moment that you have given us. I pray, Lord, that you be you that speaks and not us, Father. Thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing and all that you have done and all that you're going to do. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. And we ask for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. All right, stretch if you need to. And my beautiful Sandra will be reading.
Okay, good morning. I'm reading from the NIV version. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, starting with verse 1 here. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They went to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money that had been brought into the temple of God, which the Levites, who were the doorkeepers, had collected from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and the entire remnant of Israel, and from all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then they entrusted it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the Lord's temple. These men paid the workers who repaired and restored the temple. They also gave money to the carpenters and the builders to purchase dressed stone and timber for joists and beams for the buildings that the kings of Judah had allowed to fall to ruin. The men did the work faithfully. Over them to direct them were Jahath and Obadiah, Levites descended from Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam descended from Kohath. The Levites all who were skilled in playing musical instruments had charge of the labors and supervised all the workers from job to job. Some of the Levites were secretaries, scribes, and doorkeepers. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, "Your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They've paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and the workers." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahiakim, son of Shaphan, Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Azariah, the king's attendant, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what's written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. They've not acted in accordance with all that's written in this book." Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all that their hands have made. My anger will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I've heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place and on those who live here." So they took her answer back to the king. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had heard everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites. And he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God as long as he lived. They did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sandra. Ooh, praise the Lord. You got through all those names. Whew. Thank God I don't have to read them. Thank God for that. You know, this is such a a good chapter. It has so much information in here. First of all, you know, Josiah, you know, he was only 8 years old. It starts off when he became king, you know, and he reigned for 31 years. That alone is impressive, because a lot of the prior kings, they didn't reign that long. But, you know, Josiah, 8 years old, which goes to tell you that God can use you. Doesn't matter how young you are, and it doesn't matter how old you are, God can use us. He says in verse 2 that he said that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. And most importantly, he did not turn to the right nor to the left. Being so young, yet does not turn to the right or to the left, that means he was dedicated. You know, he had a goal. He had a goal, and he wanted to meet that goal, because he says that he did right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David to serve God. You know, and so the Lord was going to bless him. And he says there in verse 3, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young. Well, of course he's still young. He was a baby when he took office, you know, but he was young. He began to seek God. Okay, so he began to seek God in the eighth year of his reign. That means he was growing up, you know, and to seek the father of David. And he says that in the 12th year, he began to purge. So it took him time to learn about the Lord, seek the Lord. And then when he started to seek the Lord, he began to know who this Lord is, who the God of his father David was. And therefore, he started to see that there needed to be some changes, that there needed to be had changes, because his father was an evil king. And his father allowed, you know, all this evilness to come into the kingdom. And he allowed all these high places to take form and wooden images to be put in position. But now the son, a young son, that is just coming to know who the father of David truly is, you know, he decides, you know what, I'm going to seek the Lord and I'm going to do right. And, you know, and when we seek God, you know, we will find him. It says in 2 Chronicles 15, 2, and it says, hear me, Asia, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, you will find him, and he will find you. So if we seek the Lord, if we're going after God, God is going to reveal himself. God is going to show up. You know, he's going to let us know what we need to do. So here, this young man is growing up, and in verse 4, he says that, you know, he ordered that they will break down the altars of Baal. You know, altars of incense, altars, you know, that they might be all cut down, and the wooden images, but not only taken down, but look what it says. He broke into pieces. Sometimes we need to destroy what the enemy has set up. Sometimes we need to get rid of it. And it says to broke into pieces. And he also goes into as far as saying, make it dust. That means there ain't no way you're going to put it together. Ain't no way you're going to glue this back with crazy glue and make it work again. You know, so he says he broke it, you know, and not only that, he scattered them on the graves of those who sacrifices. He scattered them. So, you know, he was making a point. In verse 5, says he also burned the bones of the priests. Look at that. He also burned. That tells me that he must have dug up these priests. They were already dead, you know, and burned them because of the sin, you know, of the priests, of the altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten them, the carved images, into powder, and cut down all the incense altars throughout the land, because they had this all over the place. This was taking place. They were worshiping idols. They were worshiping false gods. So, you know, but Josiah abolished, he destroyed all these sites of idolatry in Judah. And in the 18th year of his reign, he purged the land of the and the temple. So once all of this stuff was accomplished, And the king set up leaders, you know, and the leaders were there to collect money and to bring it into the temple, you know. And then, you know, and it's another reference in 2 Kings. He speaks a lot about it, 2 Kings 22:4. And he says, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. So the doorkeepers were those that were in front of the temple. And when the people came to bring offerings, they put it, they gave it to them, they put it into the cotton that was there, you know, and then they brought it in. And they took all this money, all this stuff that was collected in verse 11, and they gave it to the craftsmen and the builders, you know, the mason individuals and timber for the beams and for the floor of the house of the king that was destroyed beforehand. So all that money that was being brought in was to repair, it was to fix, it was to build up. And with all of this stuff that they were fixing and repairing, guess what? They found some books. And they were actually not books. They were actually scrolls, because back then that's what they had, you know. And they found these scrolls. And it says in verse 14, now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the high priest, found the book of the law that was given to Moses. So this book was probably hidden. This book was probably put away somewhere. And with all the stuff that went on before this young king, they probably just hid it that way it won't get destroyed. And they do all the cleaning. That's what happens when you clean, you find stuff. When we decide to clean up the closet, and I got a garage full of stuff, when we decide to clean up, we end up finding, oh, this is where this is at. Oh, I've been looking for you. But that's what happens. And so they were cleaning up house. They found him. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave it to Shaphan. And then Shaphan, at the verse 18, the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read to the king. So he took the book, you know, he went to the king. He said, this book was found. This is an important book. It was a book of the law. And it happened in verse 2, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. You know, the king was overcome with dread because he knew that Judea had not kept the word of the Lord. He knew that they have not followed the word. I mean, he was just cleansing the temple. He was cleansing the land. He was removing all these images. So he knew that the people were not right, you know, but he said, but when we don't know what to do, what's the best thing to do? Inquire of the Lord, is to ask the Lord. When we don't know what to do, we ask of the Lord. And that's exactly what he did here in verse 21. He says, go inquire of the Lord for me. For those who are left in Israel and Judea, concerning the words of the book that you found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us. So he included himself in that, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord and do accordingly to all that is written in the book. So the acknowledgement is there. They have not followed. They were in sin. You know, they have not kept the word of the Lord. So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Hildash, the prophetess. You know, so here they went to a prophetess, you know. So as a woman prophet, you know, and I wanted to stop right there, that, you know, to acknowledge that, you know, there are seven prophecies that in scripture that I mentioned, and you know, and Hildash was one of them. Another one was Miriam, Deborah, Sarah, Hannah, Abigail, and Esther. They were all prophecies. And I wanted just to acknowledge that, you know, Women are important, and we cannot forget that. And there are those that God would use in positions like this, you know? So I wanted to applaud all the women that are in some type of ministry, some type of leadership position. You know, I take my hat off to you because you are used by God. And look how the Lord used them back in the day. You know, back in the day, they were sought out to ask what was the word of the Lord, to give advice. So that's a beautiful thing. So again, I just wanted to acknowledge you guys out there. And in verse 23, it says, and she answered and said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you, you know, to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity. I don't think that's what he wanted to hear. I don't think that's what anybody wants to hear, that the Lord will bring calamity to this place and unto the inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book. Yeah, that's not good news. That's not good news for me at all. You know, God is going to bring his judgment upon the people, you know, and that's not good at all. And it goes into, because they have forsaken the Lord. And you know, you've been with me in this journey all these weeks, and you have seen from one king to the next king. You know, one king was pretty good, then the next king, he was evil. He did wrong in the sight of God. So they have been going back and forth with this. And in verse 25 says, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods that they might provoke me to anger. And this is coming from the Lord. With all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath will be poured upon them. My wrath, in verse 25, will be poured upon them out of this place and not be quenched. That's how it works. And not be quenched. That means nothing is going to stop this. This is going to happen. And again, it's not a good word. It's not a good word that was coming out. Hildash told them God's punishment was going to come because they have been too many generations of wickedness in Judea. So this is what's going on for quite a while. You know, and sometimes, and you know, we can't play church. We can't play with God, you know, and God is a God that is righteous. And right here, he was telling them, you know, I had it. You know, my judgment is going to come. My judgment is going to come. But again, there was righteousness in the young king that was there. And he says in verse 25, but I like that word. But, you know, this the punishment is going to come. But, you know, it says there in verse 26, but as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender. Look at that. Wow. Because his heart was right. Our hearts need to be right, you know, with the Lord, because your heart was tender and you humble yourself. You humble yourself. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, before God. When you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitants, then you humble yourself before me and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. So, you know, God sees all. Nothing is hidden from him. Everything that goes on, he knows. And he knows our hearts. And he knows our thoughts. He knows our minds. And when we call upon him, you know, and there are those times that we call upon them that we may not feel it, you know, that we may not see no change, but the Lord has heard you. The Lord has heard you. That's right. That's why he says, I also have heard you. Also, the Lord has heard your plea. The Lord has heard your requests, your prayers to him. You know, and he says that the Lord saw how this young king felt, you know, and he humbled himself. And when we humble ourselves, the Lord sees that. When we humble ourselves before him, when we throw ourselves before his feet and humble ourselves, he sees that. He acknowledges that. And it goes into saying, surely I will gather you to your father and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Wow. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring in this place and to this inhabitants. So they brought back the word to the king. So this is the word that they were going to send to the king. But look what they told him. They told him, because I have heard you, because you have humbled yourself, you shall not see this. It's going to come. But look at the grace of God. Look at the compassion of God. Look at the mercy of God. He says, but you would not see it. You would not see it. So the judgment was still going to come sometime in the future. For the king, he says, you will go to your grave in peace. What? You will go to your grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see the calamity. Because why? Because he was a good king. Because he looked for the Lord. You know, so because of the king, Josiah's attitude and repentance and willing to obey God, all this calamity would not happen until after his death. All of this stuff would not happen until after his death. Hildash inserted in her saying, says the Lord. You know, she wrote that in there. She wanted to make sure that they knew that it was the Lord that was speaking, but it wasn't her own words, it wasn't her own thoughts, but she wanted to make sure that they acknowledge that these words was the words of the Lord. And then that's what she put in there. That's what she put in there. It says the Lord. The Lord is saying this. The Lord, this is the Lord's word. You know, so they you know, so Joash gathered all the people and read to them the word of this book. So he gathered all the people together and expressed what they need to do and expressed how he felt. And, you know, and again, he was such a young king, but yet he loved God. He wanted to do what was right. And he, you know, in verse 31, it says that these kings, he stood up in this place and made a covenant with the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul. So that was a commitment that he had. But not only did he have this commitment, you know, he called upon the people. He told them, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin to take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their father. You know, King Josiah, you know, made a personal covenant with God. And he also compelled the people to follow him in this commitment to the Lord. You know, when we get committed to God, when we give God all that we have and we trust in him, he has a way of opening doors for us. He has a way of removing situations that we are facing, you know, but we have to make sure that we make this commitment to him, that we follow him, that we take the examples of this young king, that he humbled himself, you know. And on top of that, he was young, but yet again, he didn't turn to the right and he didn't turn to the left. He was focused at this point of his life of what he needed to do. And he needed, and he wanted to please the Lord. He wanted to make a way. He wanted the people to find a way. That's why he purged the land. He purged the land. He removed everything. And in verse 23, thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the counties, you know, that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord. So they were serving the Lord. Why? Because the king said to do this. The king said to serve the Lord. And it says there, all his, to serve the Lord genuinely, the Lord their God. All his days, they did not depart from following the Lord, the God of their father. You know, it says there, all his days, that leaves it open. That leaves it open that, yes, the people follow the Lord God all of this king's days. What happens afterwards remains to be seen as we read along later on. But, you know, but they did follow the young king. They did follow the commitment that he had. So this Josiah, you know, he was a young king, but he led by example. He led by example. My point is, what example are we leaving? What example are we giving? What example are people seeing in us? If this young king that took office at age 8 years old, that was a young king. And then now, and shortly after that, he started to seek the Lord and draw closer to the Lord and did not turn to the right or to the left. That shows us that we can do this. That shows us that we can do this. Because back then, all they had was the fear of God. Today, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that dwells around us, and Holy Spirit shows us. So we need to make sure that we serve the Lord. We need to make sure that we trust Him. We need to make sure that we take it to the next level, because God wants us. He wants us as His sons and His daughters. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be of good health. He wants us to have strong and happy marriages. He wants our kids to serve Him. All of this the Lord wants for each and every single one of us. But are we doing everything that we can do? I always feel that I can do more. I always feel that I fall short at certain times, you know. But that's just me. That's just me speaking about myself. So, but I always try to do the best I can and always try to share, you know, what I feel the Lord has given me. And this particular young king, he proved that he didn't turn to the right or to the left. So let's focus, my brothers and sisters. Let's focus on God. Let's focus on his word. You know, God is on the move. We are moving really, really fast. This next couple of weeks, I think they're going to escalate, you know, and what's happening, especially in Fusion Church. I know doors are going to continue to open up, and I know that certain things are going to be completed and finished, you know, so God is on the move. You know, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I can't wait to see the next chapter. You know, the main thing is that we focus as we go through this, as we are moving forward, that we focus on Him, that we don't focus on the negative, that we don't focus on all that we're seeing and hearing. And you see it all the time on TV. You see it all. And especially today, you know, with all the Christian leaders that you see with issues that are happening and situations that are happening in the churches, we need to make sure that we focus. I know that's a word that I always use, and I'm going to continue to use that word forever and ever, to focus on the Lord. Because sometimes we lose our focus, and we got to refocus on Him and trust Him and trust in what He's doing, not in what man can do, but what in God can do. Because the scripture says that for men, this is impossible. Come on. That's a scripture you guys have been hearing for quite a while. For men, this is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. And I'm right along there with you, my brothers and sisters. I'm believing in the impossible. I'm believing in supernatural breakthrough, supernatural deliverance, supernatural financial breakthroughs in our homes and our family, but above all, supernatural salvations from our kids and our loved ones. I believe it is going to happen, and I believe that it's happening now. So let's focus. Let's trust in God. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left like this young king, but just seek the Lord, because if you seek Him, you will find Him, because He's right there. He's right there by your side. So again, this was such not a real large chapter, but it gives you so much information, so much information. And we can make a difference. We ourselves can make a difference in the people's lives around us. So let's be a good example. Like this young king was, he was a good example. He led by an example, because he was right there with the people. He was right there with the people, and he showed the people the direction that they should go. So again, I pray that you guys will have a blessed weekend. Come on, it's that time again to join up one of the groups. All Connect groups are being offered throughout the weekend, and above all, and then on Sunday, it's Father's Day. So those who have their pops around, or those that you consider their fathers, you know, remember them. Remember them. My dad is in heaven, you know. So he's already in glory. He's already doing the dance of joy up there, you know, and I give God the praise for that. But let's acknowledge those ones in our lives that, you know, that sometimes they get forgotten. Sometimes they get forgotten. So we need to make sure that we acknowledge that. With that said, let us pray. Have a blessed weekend. I love you. And we're going to see each other soon. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that you have given us. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises, Father. I thank you, Father God, because you always make a way. Just like this young king, Father God, even though punishment is going to come to the land, but yet because of him, Father, you said that all his days, Father God, that he will go to the grave in peace. And you gave him that time, O Lord. So I pray, O Lord, that you will help us, my Lord, as we move forward. Guide our steps. Direct our steps, Father. Show us the way. I pray that you will bless us, keep us, guide us. And I just thank you in advance for the miracles that are happening, the miracles in motion that are taking place, even as I speak, Father God, because you're moving in the secret places that we know nothing of. But I thank you in advance, Father. I thank you in advance for their breakthrough. I thank you in advance for their healing. And I thank you in advance for their peace. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Keep you focused. I love you. And we'll see each other soon.